I never had my parents buy shit for me because they'd always get the wrong things.
Exactly.
Except for Christmas. That doesn't count.
Christmas doesn't count.
So that's a really sad, sad sentiment.
And 3, 2, 1. Hello everyone, welcome to episode 326 of The Side Quest, with your hosts, Eric and Steven.
I'm the Steven in that equation. Man, you were just out of it.
I had to be down enough to make up for all of Daly's super up intros.
Oh yeah, he's like, welcome!
Yes, exactly, and that'll be nice and simple now. So how's it been going?
It's been good. It's spring break just started for me, so, I've got the next 10 days just pretty much all free.
So you mean next week's podcast, I'm gonna have to look at your list of games, be about 35 long?
Oh my god, you have no idea. I just got a fresh Amazon shipment today.
What are you looking forward to playing?
I got Yakuza 4, but I gotta still pump through Yakuza 3, but yeah, before I play that, but I got Binary Domain, which you sent me. And then Mass Effect 3, obviously. That's the one I'm most looking forward to, because who wouldn't be, really? It is Mass Effect. Regardless of how it actually turns out in the long run.
I've designed myself to, no matter what anyone says about Mass Effect 3, anyone that's played the first two is going to play the third one.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, not even around that.
Yeah, myself included in that equation there, so I'm super excited to play it. And I just got it today. I haven't installed it yet. I'm actually playing through the entire Mass Effect franchise before I go back and play Mass Effect 3 because I'm not sure how my save is situated right now. There was some mix-ups in transferring things between different computers and whatnot, so we'll see what happens with that. But regardless, I will be playing Mass Effect 3 and I will be enjoying it. At least to some extent, I'm willing to make that bet. That I will probably like it, at least somewhat.
Have you picked up anything on a Steam sale recently?
I feel like I have, but no, I think I pretty much own Steam now, so I think I'm...
there's like 50% off of the entire 2K catalog.
Oh yeah, I think I might already own, I think I might have already bought the 2K catalog.
I own a lot of the games on here, but I'm still tempted to buy more of them.
It's Borderlands is on there. Do you have Borderlands?
I have Borderlands for the 360, but I'm tempted to buy it for the PC because it's $750 for the Game of Year edition.
I would. I have it on a PC. I have not played through. I played through the first DLC on PC, but I have not played through any more of it. So if you get it on PC, I will multiplayer that with you.
I'll probably just get the not Game of the Year edition. Save my. No, it's only $250 more.
Yeah, that's where they get you, right?
Nothing. once again, I'm stumped on the Civ 5 deal because $25 2 years after that game came out is too rich for my blood.
Really? I thought you got it last time that it was on sale on Amazon or something.
I was going to, but I held off because of all the other games I still needed to play.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's probably a wise decision. I can't really fault you for that.
Yeah, but I already picked up on this deal, the XCOMs and Pirates, Sid Meier's Pirates.
Oh, I think Sid Meier's Pirates is like the one ubiquitous sort of game that everybody has because it's not on every goddamn system, so somebody owns it at some point. But it is one that I have managed to abstain from.
It's only $5.
$5 is pretty... That's pretty... tempting. I like pirates.
And I haven't played... I played the first XCOM game in probably 94 or 95 when I was barely old enough to play games.
Like when it came out, really?
Well, it came out... I think it was a couple years after it came out.
Oh.
And I remember reading about that game in EGM, maybe.
Right.
And that was all I had, and that's the reason I bought it, was EGM.
Oh, that'd be that, in 94, yeah. That was about where you found out about games.
Yeah, and I played it a little bit then, but I haven't played it since then, and everyone always talks about it, and it's well-reviewed.
Yeah, I got it for like $5. I got the whole franchise on sale for once for like $5 at some point. I tried playing that first one, but good goddamn, is that some esoteric shit. That is some early 90s ass video gaming.
It's like playing a lot of the Infinity Engine games.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit later. It's, I don't know, it's a different kind of game that we're not used to anymore.
Yeah, it's certainly a game that doesn't really get made anymore, a type of game that doesn't get made anymore.
I haven't read any of the previews that came out from last week's XCOM event, but people are saying nice things, I think.
Okay, well that's good.
So I don't know if it's like the old ones, but anyway,
I have high hopes for that game because I am a fan of 2K Marin. I think they.
No, I'm talking about the other XCOM.
Oh, Enemy Unknown.
Yes.
Okay. The what is it? Not prequel, but not sequel, really, because
it's just set in the same universe as the new one.
I thought the premise was that like the first game takes place during the start of the invasion, and then Enemy Unknown takes place like towards the final days of Earth, kind of thing.
I have not been keeping up with that fiction because I don't know. Mostly, I'm just worrying about that XCOM game being made, the first person shooter.
Yeah, I think that's coming out. If Syndicate can come out the way that it did, I think Enemy or not Enemy Unknown, just regular ass XCOM can come out.
Yeah, and if Spec Ops: The Line can make it out this year too. Just a couple months, and that should be able to make it out.
This is the era where all those vaporware games are becoming not vaporware. I mean, we had Duke Nukem Forever, for God's sake.
I played. I was in an alpha. I was playing an alpha build of the Spec Ops game, like last August.
Okay.
And it felt like a decent game then.
That trailer looked really impressive.
Entire thing.
Oh, really? So that's not even that what they're showing like now. That is what you
apparently
played.
They retooled that entire game after that alpha build beta situation.
Yeah, I mean, it was the similar thing with Syndicate. Syndicate was alive and then dead, and then alive and then dead forever and ever and ever, and nobody knew if it was actually. It was always rumor and speculation as to whether it was going to even exist, and then they announced it like a month before it actually came out. And actually, that game, and like I said on an earlier episode, that game is fantastic. 5 out of 5 I gave it. So
I need to pick that up still.
It's really good. If you can guess, you need to have people to play with though. It's the multiplayer is really where it's at on that game.
Okay, so what have you been playing right now?
Mostly, I haven't had a lot of time to just sit down and have a real good console experience. Like I said, spring break was starting up here soon, so it was a lot of teachers sort of trying to get a bunch of stuff out of the way, so it's been pretty busy. But I have had time to play some iOS stuff. I played. I recently bought Batman Arkham City Lockdown. Which, no colon in that, whatever, whatsoever. It was kind of weird for me to have to type that up earlier this week. I wrote about the sale, but that's a good game.
Is it, like, Infinity Blade style?
So, it really looks that way, and it at first, that's exactly what I thought it was. In a lot of ways, it kind of is. It follows that same sort of structure of, like, you know, come up to a bad guy, swipe against the bad guy to beat the bad guy, you know, rinse, repeat. But they do a lot of interesting stuff with a sort of, they have like an overworld kind of thing, not like a sort of hub world, and you move through combat that way. Like on a very esoteric level, strategically, you can't play that game like Infinity Blade, which threw me off at first. Infinity Blade is very much wait for the enemy to attack and then sort of counter him. Yeah. Whereas in this one, you are much more on the offensive because you are Batman. So it is a lot of fighting dudes
Batman
right off
the bat. Batman.
Batman as Batman. You are breaking dudes' limbs. It seems to take a lot of, if not just concepts, but outright assets from actual Arkham City. Like the lines over dudes' heads when they're about to do an unblockable attack kind of thing. You know, where they get little spider-sense lines.
that's exactly how I always thought of it.
That's exactly what they are. but yeah, you have to be much more offensive. I'm
good at being offensive.
Like, yeah, you are. well, not on the side quest. That's my job, being accidentally offensive to everyone. But I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's on sale right now. I don't know. It doesn't say how long it's on sale. It's $2.99 if anybody wants to check it out. It's actually by NetherRealm Studios, the guys who Ed Boon's new studio. The guys made the new Mortal Kombat 9.
MK9.
MK9, yeah, which just seemed insane to me, just because the game came out of nowhere to begin with, but then to hear that, yo guys, we just brought back the Mortal Kombat franchise, oh by the way, our next game is a Batman Arkham City tie-in iOS game.
Well, I guess when you work for Warner, and you have a semi-small studio, and you're in between games, I guess there's not a lot you can do besides contract work.
I suppose that entire company, they basically just... All they want anybody to do is Batman.
Guys, just give us some work. We don't care. Yes, Batman, we'll take it.
but that's their second game, but they're 2 for 2 because that's really cool. I would recommend people go out and try that. So, other than that, I've been playing another iOS game, another on the iPad game, Mass Effect Infiltrator, which ties in nicely to Mass Effect 3 here. That game is $7 right now, and I don't know if I would buy it for that much money. I have very weird feelings about that game, because the gameplay is kind of interesting. It's by Iron Monkey Studios, the guys who did the Dead Space iOS game, so depending on how you felt about that game, maybe take it or leave this one, but
it's
like...
Does it control the same way?
Movement is kind of the same, but the actual combat is very cover-based. So to the point where you don't even actually make your guy shoot. Like, the game automatically shoots for you.
What? Is this like the Avatar game for 360 and PS3?
Not quite like that. It's so you get into cover, and once you're in cover, you can, like, enemies within range will sort of have, like, this target reticule box thing over them that tells you that they are eligible targets to be shot. And then once you click on them, the camera kind of pushes inwards a little bit, and your guy just automatically starts shooting and building up, like, a sort of cooldown bar for that weapon. And so it kind of becomes about keeping your weapon up and firing long enough to kill them, but without actually overheating your weapon. And then they dock you points for killing more than one enemy in a row with the same weapon type. So it's like you're constantly shifting between...
So you're like juggling weapons?
Yeah, kind of. It's got a little bit of a Bulletstorm mechanic in that kind of sense of... yeah, you're trying to keep up a combo meter almost. So the gameplay is kind of interesting and like that. But terrible voice acting, like awful voice acting.
I have heard that.
It's the guy who played JC Denton in Deus Ex and Deus Ex Invisible War.
Oh,
God. Yeah, but he doesn't sound like that. Like, as I was saying to some, I think it was Mike Dow on Twitter, it's like, oh, so this is the guy who played JC Denton's voice in Deus Ex. It basically sounds like JC Denton, the character, would sound if he was still alive by the time the events of Mass Effect take place. it's just really awful. Absolutely terrible. And not just him, but other characters in there as well. And the story, so far, I don't even know what's happening. And I'm wondering if that's maybe because it ties into Mass Effect 3 so heavily, but there's something about Cerberus turning people into robots or
it's
something.
It's another bit of promo material that EA decided to pump out for Mass Effect 3.
Basically. It feels a little bit higher quality than your average sort of little tie-in thing like that. Well, but
most of those have been at least okay, mm-hmm. I guess. I wouldn't call any of them spectacular. I didn't hate Dead Space iOS.
I actually really, really enjoyed Dead Space iOS. This is not as good as that, in my opinion. So maybe, I mean, my recommendation is if you really want more Mass Effect and they want to take it on the go, wait. Yeah, play the Facebook game, but just wait for a sale because EA is really good about putting their stuff on sale. They put their entire catalog, game catalogs on sale for like 99 cents every 5 minutes, so just wait for that. And then it ties into Mass Effect 3 a little bit too, so if that's really important to you, you can collect intel that ties into the Galactus readiness meter, I guess, which I am not that far in. I have not played Mass Effect 3 yet, so I'm not sure about the entire premise of that yet. But,
have you paid attention to any of the other Mass Effect 3 promo material?
Not really. I've been trying to keep myself in almost Mass Effect 3 blackout. So,
see, I did that, except I did play Mass Effect 3. And that's a good game.
Yeah?
Yeah, shocking.
I can't really say much about it because I haven't played it. But
it's a good game, and I recommend everyone play it.
Mm-hmm.
However, I wouldn't jump in on this game like EA seems to think that you would want to do.
Sure, sure.
So I guess what I'm saying is if you've already invested yourself, go ahead and play it. And mm-hmm. that pretty much makes everything I just said pointless.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who's played through all of Mass Effect 1 and all of Mass Effect 2 and carried their character over.
Yeah,
and
they carried their character over and they put, you know, like 50 hours into two games. I don't think they're going to be done with it now. Just lower your expectations. Because it's a good game, but it's no Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, it's. I mean, and that's not necessarily... Yeah. That's probably not necessarily an insult, right? Because, I mean, Mass Effect 2 is...
Yeah, at the point in the game I'm at now, about 16 hours, 18 hours in, mm-hmm. I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's good, but it's not Mass Effect 2.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, Mass Effect 2, I mean, it's really, really tough to live up to that kind of legacy, I would imagine.
It's almost in the same vein as Uncharted 3 as compared to Uncharted 2 for me.
Better than the first, but not as good as the second?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's lacking some of the magic that the second one had.
Right. Now, I don't think that... To me, what made... at the time, Mass Effect 2, what made that so magical was partially just the fact that it was... It was Mass Effect 2. It was the concept
right game
of
at the right time.
Yep, the right game at the right time. It was the you tie your character into this game and from your old game and where you made all these crazy decisions, and it was so hyped, and it was like it was a very much a spirit of the age kind of thing, to me anyway.
What was I gonna say? Oh, the writing is substantially worse to me though.
Yeah.
Some of the character dialogue is a slight titch above abysmal, which is, I don't know, different writing staff. So,
yeah, don't get into too specifics because I still want
to. I don't have to. It's just, you know, overall, I did notice a slight drop in quality, and I still think that character romance is terrible. I never thought it was good.
In general?
In this series.
Okay.
Actually, in any of the BioWare games. All of it was fake. I mean, it felt fake. It felt manufactured for, I don't know, maybe marketing potential.
Mm-hmm.
I've never thought it was any good, and I think every single BioWare game would be better off without character romance scenes.
Well, character romance in those games is totally optional. You can just tell a character to fuck off.
Yeah, but doing that turns how the entire character acts towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And you could still, like, there is a line between acting polite and acting polite and wanting to get into bed with everyone. That distinction has never felt solid to me in the BioWare games.
That's one thing I thought they handled really well in Dragon Age 2. I have a lot of problems with Dragon Age 2, but the character romances in that game feel much more real and much more...
I haven't played that yet, so I guess I can't judge all of the BioWare games.
Sure. I really appreciated what some of the things that they did in Dragon Age 2, so I was kind of hoping that they would kind of carry some of that ideas into Mass Effect 3. Like they're in without trying to spoil it too much, Dragon Age 2, there's a character in that game who it gives you the options to like hit on them and whatnot, but no matter what you do, like they just don't get it that you are like interested in them. They basically friend zone you in that game and expect you to try and help them get together with another character. And no matter what you do or what you say, that can't change. Like that, you can never, you know, go to bed with that character or whatever it is that your final objective is, you know, depending on who you are for character romance in these games. But I always thought that was kind of a neat thing, and they do a lot of other cool little things too and whatnot. So, yeah. Are you playing as male shep or fem shep?
Stock male shepherd.
Stock male shepherd. Okay.
I never felt the need to change his looks because you can't make a good looking character other than the actual model ass dude and the model ass female.
Right. I think it has taken me three tries, but I think I'm pretty happy with the shepherd I made in Mass Effect 1 now. This is my third playthrough, but I think he finally looks decent.
Well, thankfully I'm PC and thankfully I don't have to import my guy because if you're doing that in 360, apparently it's not a good time.
Yeah, I got it on PC too, so I'm happy to hear about that. So, yeah, what happened with that? Why is it just not working? Or
apparently it's just not working. People are just getting the message saying that the import failed of your shepherd.
That's a pretty severe issue with Mass Effect, I feel.
Maybe it's because I use the stock dude, but I just don't see how it matters.
I think that it's exactly because you use the stock dude. To the people who do not use the stock dude, which I gotta imagine is at least a sizable chunk, that's probably a pretty big issue. I would take issue with it if I could not import my shepherd.
But why? I mean, you look at the back of his head most of the time.
Sure.
And during cutscenes, I mean...
But you develop a sort of connection to Shepard, not as Shepard as a character, but like, at least in my case, I feel like Shepard is me. And, like, because I try to make his choices based on what I would do in any given situation.
Do you make Shepard look like you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a different... I don't think most people do that.
Right, I'm sure that most people don't, but some...
I think a lot of people are being very irrational over several Mass Effect issues right now. I mean, it's kind of warranted because, yo, your game is broken and it shouldn't be. There's no way they didn't know about this.
Exactly. It was the same thing with Syndicate. It came out of the box broken, and there's no possible way that you did not notice that, yo, one of the major components of your game doesn't work.
Yeah, right. Along with the outrage over
online passes and...
Oh no, Shepard can have sex with a dude, and
oh,
you're
God.
A dude. I went through a dark moment on Tuesday morning when I went to Metacritic and scanned through some of the user reviews after I saw it had like a 4.2.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a good dozen to 24 reviews that gave it a zero out of 10 because, oh my God, you can have a gay shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And after everything that just happened with the fighting game community last week and the...
Oh, yeah.
And then to follow it up this week with gamers everywhere being ignorant 12-year-olds.
being at least what's the word for it? Vocalizing the fact that they are ignorant 12-year-olds.
Yeah, I mean, if you whatever opinions you have, if they're negative, keep them to yourself.
Yeah, if you're a bigot, please don't talk to me about it.
Pretty much. I mean, I wrote a substantial piece about the whole situation, only to end up not running it because it ended up not being about video games, because it really isn't.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit
earlier. Because it's not just video game fans that are ignorant 12-year-olds.
Fox News, like... Remember when that happened? And that's another thing, too. Remember when this happened with Fox News and it was gay, like, lesbian sex or whatever?
Well, it was just the sex box.
Right, but, I remember...
Sex in general, that you could have it in Mass Effect 1. Everyone was upset.
I feel like there was a sort of subset of that was, like, saying, like...
Perhaps.
Like, that was talking about the lesbian stuff. But, like, at the time, nobody... But regardless, the point being that there... That gay relationships have been in Mass Effect games previously, but in the first instance, it was because it was two females kind of thing, or at least, you know, whatever, the Sari are supposed to be asexual, but whatever, they're fucking women.
Yeah, yes.
in the first Mass Effect book, they even kind of just, like, they even kind of express that sentiment.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too deep into something that I maybe don't have any business talking about either. But I just wanted to say, it's kind of like the Chasing Amy thing. I can't remember the character's name, but the gay black comic book writer in Chasing Amy, he says that when it's two women, who are having sex with each other, everybody thinks it's cute and harmless or whatever. But the minute it's two guys, it suddenly becomes a shitstorm.
Oh, yeah. There were probably 10 reviews on Metacritic that said that same thing.
Yeah.
They said actually that, you know, as long as it's women, it would be okay, but it's men, so it's gross.
Oh, really?
I'm like, come on. What is wrong with people?
I'm glad that pretty much universally, you know, the journalistic community has come out against these people. Like,
it's because the journalistic community is pretty diverse.
Yeah.
So it's in order to, it's frustrating seeing people act like the last 10, like 20 years of progress in the world haven't happened.
Right. Sure. I mean, especially at a time like this when a few weeks ago, we just had like that weird sort of, maybe not weird, not the right word, but that sort of like very sudden rush of just like, a lot of gay rights movements, of a lot of gay rights, the right to, for marriage and whatnot, be like, spreading across the country in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different places, and suddenly just kind of exploding with a bunch of different states allowing it and whatnot.
Yeah, and
it feels like, why now? Like, of all times, why are you getting upset about this? Of all times, of all games, why Mass Effect 3? Why now? People have been complaining about this stuff all the time, but it just seems like it's gotten so much more out of hand with Mass Effect 3 now than it has in the past. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's whatever, and there's nothing we can do about it, unfortunately.
Right. I mean, you know, all we can do is, you know, tell everybody out there that
acting like a child. See, the worst part is though, most people don't even understand that they're wrong. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest problem is they were raised on beliefs and they are part of a youth culture that doesn't understand.
Yeah, that's so, probably a big that you're absolutely right.
I mean, I was 12 years old once. I kind of understand what goes on. I wasn't proud about everything I did when I was 12 years old. So, out of understanding now, I would have punched myself in the face.
Sure.
Okay, let's move on from that. The biggest thing I did this week, though, was organize and recreate my game, my 360 game collection.
How do you mean reorganize?
Well, first of all, I just had them all, like, thrown on the shelf, so sure. I alphabetized them all.
Uh-huh.
And then I decided to remove a large chunk of them. So now I'm down to just over 60 games.
Okay, would you sell the other ones, or?
No, I boxed them up, because I don't know what to do with them, because I don't want to sell them, because a couple of them were sports games anyway, so they'd sell for, like, a quarter.
Yeah, that's not even an exaggeration, folks. Don't sell your games for quarters.
Yeah. Notable games I kept that I haven't played or played a lot of yet. aforementioned Borderlands.
Sure.
I've got about probably 10 hours into that, but that's like scratching the surface. I have Mass Effect 1 and 2 on 360, which I played about an hour of Mass Effect 2-3 years ago. Maybe 4 years ago.
On that version.
Yes, yes.
Like, you have beaten Mass Effect, just to be clear.
Yeah. Resident Evil 5. The Saboteur. Rock Band 3, I still haven't played.
Is this just, like, gonna become the episode where we just talk about the games that you need to play still?
Kinda.
This kind of started off as, what games does Eric own too many of? And now, if we go down the, like, the rabbit hole of what games does Eric still need to play, I think we're never getting out of here.
Ones I kept. I'm getting rid of games, boxing them up that I haven't played. That was a tough decision, but I did it. And the last one worth mentioning is Rayman Origins. I beat the first world, and then I would have had to go back to collect more of the gems.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like doing that.
I still have a sealed copy of that sitting around here. I have a sealed copy of it, and I have been slowly but very seriously considering getting the Vita version. Like, I just stare at it.
I'll punch the face if you do that.
It's supposed to be really good, but I don't know why. Cause I already own
them.
I know. Something about just having it on that little screen with me at all times just seems something about it just seems really appealing.
Okay. Other than that, I ain't been doing shit.
Yeah. Okay. That seems like a pretty good way to spend some time, though. I can get behind getting rid of some games. Like, as a human being who owns all of Steam, I can get behind getting rid of some games, because you can't get rid of Steam games. You have to forget your password to get rid of Steam games.
I've got so many games on Steam.
We're not going into that. yeah.
So many. Okay, let's take a break. Then we'll come back and talk about some news and other issues that plague the gaming world on a daily basis. Okay.
Us, namely.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be back. Okay, and we're back.
Yeah, that's more energetic. That's approaching Dalyism.
I saved the energy for when everyone already turned it off.
You just like, well, guys, you didn't get Dally at the beginning, but you know what you'll get now. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Name of this episode had better be approaching Dalyism.
I don't name the episodes usually because I'm too lazy to come up with a name.
Well, way to just let everybody know the reason why. Just, like, show them how the sausage is made. And we know that it'll still be in the final version of this podcast, because there's no, if you're too lazy to name the episode, there is no way that you can bring yourself to go through the time and effort to edit that out of the podcast.
I edit what is egregious and needs to be edited.
Okay.
So, like, that whole section we had talking about Taiwanese strippers, that's going to be taken out.
Oh, that was so good, though.
But yeah, let's see. I named an episode, maybe back by like E3.
Hmm.
Yeah. So we're on a roll of like 20 straight episodes with no name.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't look at these ever. So I didn't know this.
Yeah. Well.
The more you know, I guess.
Yeah, that's important information.
Anyway, let's talk about some news. We got a lot of news to talk about. We should really have liners and jingles in this show. I haven't brought it up to Dally, but I would really like to see us have like sound effecty things in between episode or in between segments and whatnot. I think that's something that we could swing.
That's more editing work than is needed.
Yeah, but it just sounds cool.
I guess
I'm coming at this from the perspective of somebody who doesn't have to edit the episode every week.
We have breaks in between, as it is, so I guess it kind of works. But anyways, video games.
Yeah, games in the news. There's news in the games. Or, wait.
Yo, dog,
I heard you like news, so I put some games in your news that you would play some... What's happening in the world, Eric? Tell me. Inform me.
Assassin's Creed 3 is a thing.
It certainly is, and we know. But I think the bigger news is that it's a thing that we know what it is now. We know where it is and who it is.
It's a thing that I want. Which, after looking at Revelations, I was kind of poo-pooing that without even playing it because it looked like butt.
I still don't get the Revelations hate. I feel like that's another example of people in the industry and people like just gamers in general, like latching onto the one really specific thing about a game that they don't like, and then just saying that ruins the entire game. Like with Dragon Age 2, it was, well, they reused some of the assets for the environment.
Some? It was like 3/4 of them.
But it's really not that big of a deal when you're actually playing it. Like
bullshit. Anyway,
I have
Assassin's Creed 3 is set in colonial America.
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome.
That is fucking fantastic.
And you're a half Indian named, little fake named Connor.
His
real name has like
has a colon,
in it.
In between the last few letters. Kotaku posted an article that was just entirely how to pronounce his name, and I fucking memorized it, but I can't remember it now.
And did it have information on which Japanese body pillows to sleep with?
It did not. It was a, I think it was Jason Schreier who wrote it, so it was okay.
So that would be good. He's going through his own troubles right now. Okay. You didn't hear about
it. It's like Ragu Gatebio, Ragu Gegata, or something like that. That's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, he's catching shit right now for NeoGAF not understanding how games writing works.
We should just really have a. Now that Dally's not here, we're kind of going a little bit more off the rails than usual. But we should really just have a running segment on the show where we just dish about stupid things that people in the industry are doing.
Well, see, in this one, it's not people in the industry. It's fucking NeoGAF, who is an amalgamation of the world's biggest retards on one website. I probably have to take that out so they don't like bomb our site now.
Yeah, just get hit with DDoS?
But yeah, they're not the brightest people.
No.
I spent too much time there already. But anyways.
You're in that dark corner.
Yeah, pretty much. You can run through trees in Assassin's Creed 3.
You'd have to, I would imagine, because...
You can use a hatchet to chop some dude.
A hatchet shaped like the Assassin's Creed symbol, which I thought was...
Yeah, which is a small detail that is amazing.
This is the Assassin's Creed 2 team, by the way, if people don't know. So that sort of thing is exactly what they are giving us, and that is exactly what they want. And I could not be happier about this whole thing. Like, everything about this.
Those first shots that came out about this game, I've never been more excited for a fifth game in a series before.
Right? Like, to be fair, there's not a ton of games that actually come out calling themselves fifth games, but...
Well, of this one. This is Assassin's Creed 3-1.
Yeah, 3-1 as opposed to 2-1 and 2-3. Revelations was 2-3. Yeah, that whole thing is weird. Do you think they're going to do that with Assassin's Creed 3 here? You think it'll be like...
if... I don't think this generation's going to last long enough to worry about it. If they're going to annualize the next year, maybe, because they are going to have all these assets done.
Sure.
So they might reuse some of them.
Well, my thing is, like, who's to say that, if, you know, the three story, Connor, whatever his real name is, story has to end with this generation? Who says Assassin's Creed 3, 2 can't be on the Xbox Durango?
I just think that, I don't know. I just want goddamn
It definitely
IP.
Goes against tradition, but, yeah.
I want a new IP. As Why much as I like Assassin's Creed, I've played four games in that series. Four games?
Four games? Five games.
No. How many have I played? I've played three games. I've played three games in those series, and they've all been amazing.
All right, you haven't played Revelations.
Yes.
What other one didn't you play?
Wait, how many games...
There's five games in the series so far.
No, there's five games counting three.
Yeah, you're right. And then there's the ancillary stuff like Bloodlines and whatnot too. So.
Oh well, fuck that. Those aren't even games.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's Assassin's Creed 3. It's a game that looks awesome.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Where I was kind of for me, my choices were American Revolution or Feudal Japan, or you know, some
Those
kind of thing like that.
Two things everyone were expecting.
Right. For the Assassin's Creed 4 or whatever, you know, the next time jump forward, I'm really hoping for...
Desmond?
No, I'm very much against the idea of playing as Desmond, because I say I don't want to play as a dude in normal place, in normal time. I love going across the world and learning about weird facts about history mixed with, like, weird Templar bullshit. No, my hope for the next one is go to Japan during like the 1800s during American expansionism, when you had like American soldiers, retired soldiers moving into Japan to go lead like armies to help.
So you're talking about the last assassin?
The last assassin, Mirai. that's the era I want to see. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. But that's like at least a year and a half off.
Yeah.
So
but, yeah, excited for Assassin's Creed 3 though. That's kind of boils down what it all boils down to for me.
New iPad. The iPad 3 came out. Oh wait, no, they announced the new iPad.
Is that literally what they called it? Just new iPad?
The new iPad.
Is it gonna be spelled NU iPad?
I would prefer that, but. Like, this just goes to show that Apple doesn't even care about marketing.
Well, they don't really have to.
Because they don't need to, because I'm going to sound like an asshole. There's so many stooges that are going to jump right away because it has an Apple logo on it.
Sure. I think stooges is maybe a little bit...
That is... No. That's exactly what it is.
No, hold on. I'm not saying that it's maybe inaccurate, but I'm saying it is maybe a little bit rude.
No, yeah, but you are what you are.
Hey, if you walk around with your head is all bald and you got two brothers and they poke you in the eyes and, you know, you're in that movie with the nun in the bikini, all I can say is you a stooge. I don't know.
Right. I'm not saying everyone that buys it is a stooge, but you can't argue. Nobody can argue against me that there is not a cult of Apple. Of people that move from Apple product.
I don't think you would find anybody who was.
I just think that group of people is larger than anyone would like to admit, and a lot of people are without knowing they are.
Sure.
But anyways, the new iPad has a big screen. Well, doesn't have a big screen, but has a high resolution screen.
Same size screen, but a four times the resolution and four times processing power is, I think, what they've said.
Yeah, something like that.
Which, is that all that's different? Like, are they going to be announcing more stuff?
They updated the processor and the graphics card and the RAM.
Which, okay, no, that's all great, but...
What bothers me is they specifically said how much they updated the graphics and CPU, but they only said that the RAM is bigger.
Sure.
Which, I mean, if they go from 512 to, what, maybe 1 gigabyte of RAM, and it's still not a powerful enough thing to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I suppose, but, I mean, again, you gotta be thinking, like, Apple is not a, still isn't a...
Oh, I'm not talking games, I'm talking about a lot of other stuff that require RAM. RAM is the most overlooked PC component.
Okay.
And, you know, I got out of that way by throwing 24 gigs of RAM into my newest computer.
Sure.
You know, a tablet's not going to need that, but I would just like to have seen more.
Okay.
Especially for, you know, what they're doing.
Well,
but anyways, the 2048 by 1536 resolution is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. it's unnecessary for a 9.7-inch screen.
It is bigger than, or it is a higher resolution than probably my computer monitor. So, or probably even my big-ass TV.
My computer monitor is, I think, 1600, but, I mean, it's also 27 inches. So, mm-hmm. It kind of makes sense, but... you can't knock them for having a high pixel density, but it's just...
Well, again, like, to me, that none of that seems like flashy, very flashy. Like, I knew it was going to be more powerful before it came out and everything, but I was hoping that they would be able to say, like, oh, and now the camera isn't, like, the worst piece of garbage you've ever seen in your life.
It's not anymore. They did update the camera as well. It's a 5-megapixel backlit with a 5-element lens. And it could do 1080 at 30 frames. So it's decent. But this is the first iPad or, you know, actually iDevice that they've talked about specs more than they have features.
Yeah, and that's kind of it. Like, I was probably on a very visceral level, the most important thing to me is probably the fact that it runs faster and has that higher resolution and everything. But on my like childlike level, glee level, I was kind of hoping that like, oh, and now it has Siri because
well, it does have the voice dictation.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing.
Yeah, well, I've never been too on with Siri or the Google or the Bing or any of that. It's never really worked great. But if you're upgrading, if you want to upgrade from an iPad 1, that thing's got to be going slow by now, you might as well get this. For $100 yep. more than the iPad 2, it's going to be selling at $400. Mm-hmm. Unless you really need that $100, then getting an iPad 2 is still a dumb idea, because if you need that $100, you shouldn't be spending $400.
Sure. it's, in all honesty... You probably shouldn't buy an iPad, period. Like,
you really shouldn't.
Like, I use the shit out of my iPad. I go everywhere with my iPad, but I can't imagine that the amount I use my iPad is the same amount that most people use that their iPad. Like, I use mine for everything, but I don't know.
My long feature a couple months ago about all of the tablets I've used... And I ended up sticking with the touchpad because it was $130. Mm. Like, there's no other reason than the price. Mm. And because I couldn't justify keeping a $500 tablet.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, let's move on. I feel like I think it's time to talk about something.
A new iPad, a good product to buy if you don't own an iPad.
If you have money.
It's okay.
If you don't have money, don't buy this.
Unequivocally, it is the best tablet on the market. Whether it's best for you is a different story, but it is the best one.
Whether how good that is justified by how much you will use it, yeah, or how much you actually need that much power and whatnot.
So. Yeah. Okay, so you heard of Street Fighter Cross Tekken?
I've heard of it. I know of it.
Controversy around it last week because of Cross Assault.
Yep, I thought we talked about this already.
Yeah. But the last and most controversial thing about this game is all of the DLC, including the 12, 13 characters that
really?
Are going to be released after the Vita version comes out, are all on disc.
More on disc DLC. I mean, that's a Capcom original right there. Remember Resident Evil?
Yeah. Remember how bad playing Mortal Kombat was with different characters and skins?
I had the season pass, so it was never really a big issue with me. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but so many people didn't download the compatibility packs.
Oh, the compatibility thing. Yeah, sure. Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of a good thing that it's on there because everyone can play it.
Yeah, sure. From that angle.
But fine. Capcom is going to price all those 12, 13 characters for $20, $10 at least.
Well, that was how much it was on Marvel vs. Capcom 3. It was like $10 for a character pack. I think it came with like Jill and Shuma Gorath on Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah,
it was $10 for the two of them, I believe.
So yeah, it's I don't understand that. Did they think? And they tried justifying it with the compatibility reasoning.
Yeah,
which, while valid, isn't valid.
It's valid up until the point that you charge so much goddamn money for it.
You know,
like if they each came out like at $1 a piece, like great. Nobody really.
You know, if it's already on disc, release them for free when they come out for the Vita version.
Totally, but they're not going to do that, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely not.
But if you are going to sell them, if you sold them at a cheaper barrier to entry, I think you would get a lot less flack. Coming at this just from a purely like business perspective, I think that is a happier medium. It's just a happy medium between the two, between trying to bilk your customers out of money and trying to keep them, you know, keep the herd calm.
Well, Capcom might as well just come out and said, yo, we're withholding content because we can sell it to you later and no one will notice.
Well, it's not even they might as well have said that. That's exactly what they just said.
You're right, it is. Fuck me.
I need a pick me up. Is there any like good news on your list?
Good news. We already talked about the Mass Effect 3 issues.
That's not good news either.
I guess we can talk about some IGF and GDCA awards.
Sure.
Those happened last night.
Right.
First, it was Independent Games Festival.
I don't know.
That's what it is. Independent Games Festival. They had their awards last night. Let's see. The best.
You list them off, and I will tell you if I think it's a good pick or a bad pick.
Okay, first I'll start with IGF, so you probably won't even know most of these.
Probably not, but we'll see.
Best student game. Oh, by the way, the first bunch of awards, all of the winners got $3,000. Except for the Nuovo Award and the Seamus McNally Grand Prize. Those are $5,000 and $30,000 respectively.
Hmm.
So it's actually, there's a point to these awards.
Okay. Beyond just like whose dick is
prestige,
bigger.
Yeah. Anyways, best student game, Way by CMU Entertainment Technology Center, Coco and Company.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, well, exactly. The Audience Awards, I'm assuming the audience voted. I don't know. I don't get it. The winner is Frozen Synapse by Mode 7.
Great.
I love Frozen Synapse.
Frozen Synapse is a fine game.
It has one of the best soundtracks of last year, and they have the best developer name ever.
Because Mode
7 is the shit.
Mode 7. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think about that until you just pointed that out.
Yeah, best mobile game, Beat Sneak Bandit by Simco.
No.
Excellence in Audio, Botanicula,
Nope, never heard of it.
By Amanita Design.
I've heard of the company. I've played many of their games, but I've never heard of this game.
Excellence in Design, Spelunky, by Mossmouth.
You've never heard of that?
Yeah. Technical Excellence, Antichamber, by Demruth.
Okay, that's good.
Excellence in Visual Art, Dear Esther, by The Chinese Room.
Sure. I'm
sweeping the world right now.
Yeah, that is a divisive-ass project, but there is one thing you can say about that game, which is that it is damn pretty.
Yeah, I don't really understand it being in the games category.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a game, but...
It's an interactive story.
Yeah. An argument can be made that that's what a lot of games are, but...
Yeah, but there's no gameplay.
Yeah, sure, but in the category that it won in, sure.
Between this and John Sebastian Joust...
Johann Sebastian Joust,
those aren't video games, especially Joust.
Joust is fun, though.
Yes, yeah, but it's not even a video game because you don't even use a TV.
Yeah.
It is a game-ass game. It's like...
I think the lines get...
Video game.
Yeah, I don't know. The lines on what is and what is not a video game is still something that I think needs to be... I don't think necessarily needs to be like set down to into bound like very specific boundaries, but
we should just rename video games to interactive entertainment experiences.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly where I was going with that. I just think that we need to redefine what games like the sort of mind share behind what a video game is. Just like don't call it video games.
Yeah,
such a dumb name for it anyway.
Okay, the Nuovo Award. The $5,000 prize was won by Daniel Ben Mergui, for Storyteller.
That sounds familiar. I've heard that name, that Storyteller.
I don't know if I have.
Oh, wait, no, I think I'm thinking of the Jim Henson show.
Okay, and the shocking news, the Seamus McNally Grand Prize of $30,000 was won by Polytron, Phil Fish, for Fez.
Sure. That's... Even before you said what it is, even before, like, we even went on this thing, I almost immediately knew in my head, like, whatever the top prize is, it probably went to Fez.
Yeah. Well, this is the second prize Fez has won in the IGF.
Huh.
They won one the year they announced the game, 2008, maybe 2009. I think it was for, I don't remember what it was. I couldn't even tell you actually, but still, two awards. And it's finally going to be coming out in a couple months here. It's in CERT right now.
I'm excited to see it.
Yeah. I bet some people are a little bit upset with, because of Phil Fish's comments towards the Japanese game industry, but. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Everything I've heard about Phil Fish, like outside of that kind of one thing, and like maybe some of the comments that he says in Indie Game the Movie, everything I've heard about Phil Fish is like that he's just an otherwise upstanding young gentleman. So,
yeah, I just think he didn't say what he wanted to say properly.
Sure, but that happens.
Yes.
To anybody.
So. Now we'll move on to the Big Boy Awards. Any indie developers listening to this, I'm sorry, I just made fun of you, but...
Armless Octopus is, like, sharpening a knife right now.
Dude, who cares? We bought them. this is the 12th annual GDCAs this year, Game Developer Choice Awards. Let's see, we'll start off with Warren Spector got a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Sure, good on him.
Well-deserved, you know.
Yeah.
Arguably one of the most important in the industry.
Helped create the Deus Ex franchise, which at the time, the first Deus Ex, very important.
Pretty much his idea, the first one, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, no one man creates a video game. Well, you know, some men.
Okay, like, just to put this in perspective, like, he's following up, like, the past, like, three winners were Peter Molyneux, John Carmack, and Kojima.
Peter Molyneux, really?
Yeah, he was
last. I suppose his early stuff was pretty important.
And, you know, not even important, but Fable Original was good. But anyways, those are past years. Pioneer Award winner, David Thurer, who, let's see, like, started Missile Command, I think.
Okay.
I don't remember anything else he's done.
I've never been a big Missile Command guy, so.
I think he did that in Tempest. That's really
sure,
all.
Sure, I mean, yeah, for the category of Pioneer Award, sure. Okay, I'll give him that.
Oh, yeah. The Ambassador Award winner, apparently it's two of them, Ken Darshow and Paul M. Smith.
Any idea what they are winning for?
They were the fucking legal team for the content in video games being unconstitutional case.
Our side?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
They were general counsel for ESA.
Okay. Great. Awesome. Yep. They went. They deserve it.
I don't really get the ambassador thing.
I don't either. But, maybe ambassador like video gamers to normal people. Like they are the ambassadors from us to like the world at large. I don't know. Seems like a dumb name. Anyway, next.
Yeah. Okay. On to the actual awards. I'll start at the bottom. Best downloadable game. Take a guess.
Best downloadable game. This is for 2011.
Yep.
Ooh. Bastion.
You're right. What a surprise. Best audio.
I'm gonna say best audio. Bastion.
Nope. Portal 2.
Portal 2. Okay.
That's a good guess, though. It was nominated, Bastion.
Yeah.
Here's one you probably won't get. Best handheld / mobile game.
Best handheld / mobile game. Super Brother Sword and Sorcery EP.
You saw it, you asshole.
I did not. I just really love that game.
So. Anyways, that was what won.
Okay, sure. Actually, that game should have almost... Was that nominated for audio?
No, but this is all around audio, not just soundtrack.
Oh, okay. That's got some pretty cool voice acting stuff in there, too.
Cappy Games also got a Xbox Live Arcade contract for their next game.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if it was part of that same award, or I don't know. Innovation Award. JS Joust.
Okay. You know, it sparked us having a conversation about whether or not that was even a video game. So, sure. Innovation, why not? It does stuff differently than anybody else is doing, certainly.
Yeah, also up for that, Skylanders and L.A. Noire, amongst other things, but those were both things that did stuff new.
Sure.
But the whole time I was thinking, like, imagine if L.A. Noire won. Imagine being the guys taking that award.
Ooh.
Like, what kind of speech are you going to give?
Oh man, it's just like, yeah, thanks for the award and everything. I'm gonna go back to I don't know what he would say. I don't even have a joke for that.
I'll go work on the Mad Max game with this.
Yeah, I guess. I'm doing graphical work for the Mad Max 4, I guess. But great.
Best debut. I'm gonna mention all the nominees here. Eidos Montreal for Deus Ex, sure. BioWare Austin for Star Wars, ReLogic for Terraria, Team Bondi for L.A. Noire, and Supergiant for Bastion. Guess what won?
Bastion.
Yeah, of course. But
I think all of those were pretty deserving. Yeah,
those are all some, you know, Mojang should have been on there for Minecraft.
That gets into the when did they actually make this game?
That game came out last year. So
I know that is your opinion, but a lot of people do not share that opinion.
Other people are wrong. like that game hit 1.0 last year, so that's when it came out.
Okay.
Best visual arts, which disappointed me, went to Uncharted 3. And that game looks fine, but it is no Rayman or El Shaddai or Battlefield.
That then you get to a point like with that that gets weird too, because you get it becomes, is this best artistic design or best technical design?
And I see visual arts, and I think artistic, not technical. And if it's technical, then you know Battlefield 3 probably should have won.
I think Witcher 2, but anyway.
Yeah, but that wasn't even nominated.
Yeah, I know, but it should have been.
Witcher 2 got the shaft on several things in this set. So
in this year, not even in this award ceremony.
Best technology won by Battlefield 3.
Battlefield 3, yep.
Which is really only the only real viable option.
You really like the way that Battlefield 3 looks.
I just think it is the best looking experience to come out last year, I guess is the best way to put it.
Okay.
You know, it's nothing pulled off what it was trying to do better than Battlefield 3.
Okay, sure.
Best game design, Portal 2.
Portal 2? Yeah, that sounds right.
Best narrative?
Portal 2.
Portal 2. Okay, so Portal 2 won best audio, best game design, and best narrative. But it didn't win Game of the Year.
This is why these fucking awards are always bullshit, right? Like
that went to Skyrim.
That's a good choice too, though.
It's a good game, and the blatant disregard for all the technical issues with that game is frustrating.
Mm.
I just picked that up, by the way, Skyrim.
Oh, really?
Okay. I got it for $35, and you know. The Steam version, or the PC version, seems to finally be okay.
The PC version has been better than the others for a while now, because just by virtue of being the PC version. But anyway, sure. That was Game of the Year? Is that the whole list?
Yep, that's the list. Game of the Year goes Skyrim.
Okay, I think that's... Sure.
It was against Batman, Portal 2, Deus Ex, and Dark Souls.
And not... Dark Souls, really?
Yeah.
I love Dark Souls, and I it was one of my games of last year, but I just the idea that like an institution would regard that as one of the best games of the year is just fucking mind-boggling to me.
But yeah,
I suppose this is GDC though. These are guys of tech and technicality. These are designers and whatnot. So maybe they saw level design.
Witcher 2 didn't get even a single nomination for anything.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it got for best narrative. It actually got one.
Okay.
But that's the only nomination it got. That's frustrating.
Yeah, it totally is. Witcher 2 was my game of the year last year, with Dark Souls as a close second. But
I'm not sure if Game Developer Choice Awards are voted on by journalists, but in either case it makes sense that Witcher would be overlooked because the number of people that have a machine powerful enough to run that game is low.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think we'll see a lot more
when it comes out on 360.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever that is, June maybe, I'm not even sure. But
yeah, I don't know off the top of my head, but yep. Well, is that it for?
Yeah, that's about it for news. Let's see. You can buy some Native American flute lullabies with a kitty on the cover. Actually, can't buy it because it's free.
You can download it. I think that's a good place as any to end the show.
Yeah,
go buy a Native American flute kitty album, or don't buy it, but listen to it.
But take it for free.
Have it. Own it. Make it yours.
Precisely.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe just let the people know where they can find us and whatnot, like Dally would do, like a professional might do.
You can find Dally at Buttlover. Twitter now.
So much for that.
I'm at Elamom, that's two L's and I'm at the end. Steven?
I am at Stevenstrom, Steven Strom.
How's that?
Steven Strom.
I didn't catch that.
And buttholes.
Buttholes.
Indeed. That's my Twitter.
That was the two-man edition. I never pointed out that Deli's gone.
Oh, yeah. Deli hasn't been here in this episode, if you didn't notice.
Yeah, if you didn't notice, he's not here. He's being a responsible adult.
Which, even as you said that, you said he had business stuff and everything, and that's why he couldn't be on the show. And even as you said that, I was checking Twitter, and he's just tweeting bullshit like he always does.
Of course he is. But considering he's on almost... I think this is the first episode he's missed.
Ever?
Except for maybe one of the ones that were live at PAX Prime they didn't get to go to. But it now makes it... I've been on more episodes of the side quests than him in the past year and a half.
Wow, that's... That is a dubious honor, sir.
That's insulting to the listeners and good for me.
Oh man.
Okay, so we're gonna take off now.
Yep, this is the end of the show. Goodbye. We love you,
Steven. And cue the music.